Ears on animals are cute, whether long and floppy like a bloodhound, perky and furry like a terrier or a tabby, or sweetly tucked like a Scottish fold cat. Ears make up a big part of an animal's distinct personality. In addition to being just downright useful, just as with humans, though, our pets' ears are open to a host of maladies, the most common of which, says Dr. Matt Fraker of Prairie Oak Veterinary Center, is allergies.
It's curious how when a human being is experiencing a problem with allergies, they're usually inhaling those allergies and then coughing, sneezing, eyes are running. Whereas when dogs and cats, and the pathology is pretty similar with both of those species, when they inhale their allergies, if they're allergic to maples, pollen, or grasses, or whatever, when they breathe those in, it causes a skin breakout. And often that skin allergy includes the ears. It's the same thing with food allergies. A lot of food allergies will present with primarily affecting face, ears, and paws, for example. So probably the most common cause of ear pathology we see in our field is ear inflammation secondary to a primary allergy that leads then to secondary bacterial and yeast infections. The others that we see, parasites, we see ear mites. Usually in younger animals.
How do they get ear mites?
I think the most frequent presentation we see is kittens. And these kittens come out of questionable environments where parasites can thrive. We see so many kittens that are adopted from somewhat outdoor, somewhat feral situations versus an indoor high-end cat breeder. But even there, sometimes once ear mites get established, they can be very difficult to get rid of a population. On an individual animal, ear mites are pretty easy to treat. So we do see some parasites that affect the ears. And in older species, it can be an area for tumor development and mass development.
How would we even recognize something like that?
Well, a lot of times, most of these ear diseases are all going to sort of present the same way. The problem with some ear diseases is the anatomy of the ear canal in dogs and cats. So in a human, it's a straight shot. I mean, if you take a Q-tip and go horizontally.
Which you will not do.
Do not do this at home. Your eardrum is basically horizontal, and the opening is horizontal. It's straight in. Whereas the dogs and cats, there's a vertical canal that goes down to the horizontal canal that then goes over the tympanum or the eardrum. And so accessing that horizontal canal is difficult. It's hard for us. We have to use a scope, an otoscope. We have to sort of get down that vertical canal and then over into the horizontal canal, which in a healthy animal can be unnerving and irritating. But when you have an animal who's painful in that area, it can be extremely difficult to really visualize what the specific cause of the inflammation is. In almost all cases, whether it's an allergy or if there's a mass present, certainly with some of these parasites, it's the same sort of head shaking, digging at the ears. You can sometimes get open wounds and lesions on the ears.
Oh.
So those are some of the more common maladies we see with ears.
What about wax? Is that something we need to be concerned about with our animals?
That's kind of an interesting question. More so with dogs than cats. With cats, I think we've come up with this theme every time we do a program. Cats have to make everything difficult, and they do with ears too. Amazingly sensitive to disturbance to their inner ear and their ear canals. With dogs, it is an excellent idea to assess ears at some regular period of time.
How regular?
Well, if you'll have some dogs who have ears that are perfect month after month after month. In that case, you really might just look at the ear once a month. Just set them down, open it up. I know owners don't want to do this, but it really is actually a good idea to do. Get up close to the ear and take a big whiff.
Oh, whoa.
See, because a lot of these animals, I tell you what, if owners did this more often, we would catch diseases so much earlier than when we do. For instance, with dogs who have the flaps down.
Yeah.
And it will be like someday the dog shaking its head and the owner's like scratching, and then the owner will be like, wow, what's that smell? And then they lift the ear up and they almost pass out.
Whoa.
Had they been doing something routinely. And again, on dogs who have really good ear health consistently, it might just be once a month you take a look and make sure everything's okay.
Take a look, take a sniff.
Right. Now, when we get into animals who have chronic ear problems, dogs and cats, much better. Cats are easier to see because they have those short little ears, and you can kind of get a good peek into their ears a little bit easier. But dog health, dog maintenance, where we are going to try to employ rinsing on some regular basis, it really does depend on that dog's ear health. So if you take a Cocker Spaniel, a legendary breed for ear problems, even Cocker Spaniels with healthy ears tend to have a little bit of overproduction of wax in the ears. So just doing some routine cleansing on Cocker Spaniel ears monthly to weekly.
And we can do that at home.
Oh, yeah. It's real simple. And you don't have to be crazy about it. People, you know, you don't have to get out Q-tips and
ball washers,
headlamps. You can you can really just get a...
Like you're a coal miner.
You got to go spelunking in the ear. What you can do is just get your rinse. When you pour that rinse into the ear canal, it will actually fill like a cup. You can fill that ear canal up, and it'll actually fill like a cup. And once that fills, then you massage that ear real gently. And then you can just take like a paper towel on your finger and just soak what you can up. You don't have to dig. You don't have to wipe. You're not going to get to the eardrum with your finger. It's very, very difficult. And you can just gently push a paper towel in there or some other soft absorbent material. Soak it. You don't have to get all the cleanser out. The cleansers, most of these cleansers are creating a really nice microenvironment for the ear in terms of making it harder for bacteria and yeast to thrive, breaking down some of the oil and the sebaceous, some of the ceruminous material that we see in there. So in dogs, getting into figuring out what your dog needs for some sort of regular ear maintenance, And then doing it, sticking with it.
And use a product specifically for an animal. Don't use your own shampoo.
Oh, yeah, don't use hydrogen peroxide. Don't use, yeah, yes, absolutely. We see a lot of things going into ears that probably shouldn't, and they're probably not helping. Now, cats, because of the sensitivity to having anything affect their ears, there has been some back and forth on, we'll see some cats with that just produce a tremendous amount of ceruminous material in their ears. And we used to always, you know, when we'd see those cats once a year, clean them all back to ground zero, and then of course that would build up. There's been some thought that if it's not bothering the cat, if it's not foul, if the cat's not shaking its head, leave it alone. It's because you may get into problems trying to fix what is really essentially a benign problem. So with cats, we're a little bit more hands off on ear cleaning versus the dogs. Now, when you get in these dogs, for instance, with chronic allergies, it becomes very important. It's probably the most important routine health thing you do is to stay on top of these ears. Because with these frequent bouts of re-inflammation with allergy dogs, whether it's food allergy, environmental allergy, people get into the trap of, oh, my dog's ears are bad again, calling their vet, I just need some meds, I don't need to come in, this happens all the time. What they don't realize is every time that ear flares up again, things are changing, things may be worsening, we may be getting a different bacterial population in there. And what we'll find, if we don't attack the allergy, the primary allergy, and a lot of people don't want to do that, they don't want to go through food trials to see if that's going to make this problem go away, which is a way to cure the dog. They don't want to go through skin testing. Some private clinics do skin testing. I'm still a huge fan of the University of Illinois. If you get to that level of allergy testing, they are the place to go for it. But addressing the allergy, the primary allergy, because if all you do is try to take care of the secondary infections over and over and over, you will eventually start growing Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is this nasty, always resistant bacteria, super resistant bacteria. And once you get Pseudomonas owning an ear, management becomes incredibly difficult. So those dogs with the recurrent allergies that we're most anxious about staying on top of, cats will get recurrent allergies too, but we're usually going to be trying to back those down a lot more with oral meds, maybe some topical meds, but again, oral meds or injectables tend to be a little bit of a safer approach with cats than using a lot of topical stuff.
That's veterinarian Matt Fraker from the Prairie Oak Veterinary Center in Normal. He advises that if you're at all nervous about cleaning your pet's ears, don't hesitate to ask your vet to do it. If your life could use a little more doggy lovin', why not consider getting a new furry friend? Like Norma, the Animal House Pet of the Week. Norma is a 1.5-year-old American bulldog with a belly that just begs for rubbing. Norma is a sweet-natured princess just looking for the perfect kingdom. where she can show off her good doggy manners and walk proudly and politely on a leash. Yes, Norma believes in walking her people, not dragging them. If you'd like to meet Norma, you can find her at the Humane Society of Central Illinois. I'm Laura Kennedy.